I wear contact lenses, but when I was a kid, I used to pride myself on the fact that I had 20/20 vision. And then around ninth grade, my eyes started to get worse, and I couldn't see things that I once could. So I went to an appointment with our school nurse one day, and she said I should go see an optometrist to kind of check out my eyes. And when I went to the optometrist, he said that I needed to get glasses. But he said that I only needed to wear them in certain circumstances, like, you know, when I got a little bit older to drive or watching at a movie theater. And so I took that to mean that I didn't need to wear them at all. And so I took my glasses and I put them in my backpack, and that's where they stayed for the rest of high school. When I went to college, I was in larger lecture halls, and suddenly I realized I was having a hard time seeing what the professor was writing on the chalkboard in a couple of my classes. So I decided maybe I should try out my glasses. So I took them out, put them on, and the board was still blurry. So I decided I should probably go get my eyes checked again. I went to the optometrist nearby my college, and as he checked my eyes, he looked at me kind of puzzled and said, "How often do you wear your glasses?" I said, "Not very often." And he kind of shook his head at me and said, "There is a whole world out there that you are missing." And he said, "Have you ever thought about contact lenses if you're not a huge fan of glasses?" So I decided to put on these contact lenses, and I walked outside. And as I walked outside, the world looked completely different. I could see individual leaves on the trees instead of just blurs of green. It was amazing. I hadn't realized it, but my vision had gotten really bad. And once I put on those contacts, I could finally see clearly. Well, in today's text, we are going to see an encounter that Jesus has with a man who not just had blurry vision, but who was actually blind, who was born blind. But we'll see that in our text that Jesus actually helps this man to see clearly, both physically, but also spiritually. This summer, we're going through a sermon series called Encounters with Jesus in the Gospel of John. And we're looking at these encounters that Jesus has with different individuals that are recorded in John's Gospel. We've looked at several of those over the course of the summer. And today, my sermon title is Sight. As we look at this encounter where Jesus gives this man both physical sight, as he restores his sight, but also how he then leads this man to spiritual sight. And we'll, as we look at how Jesus does this with this man, we'll see how Jesus gives us spiritual sight too, and why we need that. So our text is John chapter 9. We're going to read actually the entire chapter, because it's a really great just account of this whole journey that this man goes on. So it's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. So it's a little bit of a longer passage, but I hope you'll be engaged as you're hearing just this journey that this man goes on. So John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this account of this encounter, Jesus, that you had with this blind man. And as we dig into this passage and into your word, we pray that you would give us eyes to see how you are encountering us today, how you are giving us vision in a new way. And so we just invite you now, Lord, to speak, Holy Spirit, to move among us and to give us ears to hear your word speaking directly into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, Jesus encounters this blind man initially to give him physical sight. But even more importantly, as you hopefully saw as I was reading that passage, he gives this man spiritual sight as the man comes to believe in Jesus. And so as we look at this encounter, we're going to see how Jesus wants to do something similar for us, how he gives us spiritual sight, just as he did to this man. And the first step that we see to having this kind of sight, getting the kind of sight that this man has at the end of the passage, is that we need to admit we are blind. Back in high school and college, I didn't want to admit that I couldn't see very well. I wanted to pretend that my vision was just fine and that I didn't need glasses. But the reality was, I needed help. I couldn't see clearly. And I wasn't able to gain clear sight until I finally admitted that I couldn't see. this blind man, he obviously knew that he was physically blind. He knew that he couldn't physically see. He'd been blind from birth. But in order to see clearly spiritually, he also needed to admit that he couldn't. And we actually see that in this passage. Near the end of the passage, Jesus approaches this blind man, and you see kind of him wrestling throughout the passage about who this Jesus is. You know, who is he exactly? And he's got some ideas, but he's a little bit confused. And near the end of the passage, Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." This man, he doesn't know who the Son of Man is, but he doesn't pretend to know either. He acknowledges, "I don't know who this is. I'm not sure," right? And he admits his spiritual blindness. And this opens the way for Jesus then to say, "You know what? I'm going to give you sight." When Jesus reveals that he is the Son of Man. Now we see a huge contrast to this, on the other hand, in this passage with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are a group in our text who do not want to admit their blindness. The Pharisees were religious leaders. They prided themselves on their keeping the law, of knowing the law. And so they themselves thought that they had great spiritual sight, but they were actually blind. They're blind to who Jesus was in the first place, but they're convinced that they know who he is. They know he's a sinner and that he's not from God, right? They're convinced of this. It shows that they're blind, but they think that they can see. The reason that they thought this about Jesus was because he had performed this healing on the Sabbath, the day of rest. And they kind of, through their very meticulous interpretation of the Sabbath, they thought, no, he couldn't be from God because he was not doing what they had, in their own minds, thought was forbidden on the Sabbath, which wasn't actually. But they refused to believe even that Jesus could possibly be from God. They even kind of think there's no way he could have actually healed this guy. Maybe he wasn't actually blind, right? So they call in the guy's parents to try to see, maybe he wasn't actually blind from birth, and this is all a ruse. These Pharisees, they are just as spiritually blind as the man who Jesus healed. They both are confused, right? They both don't know who Jesus is. But on the one hand, the man admits that he doesn't see clearly. Whereas the Pharisees, they think they can see just fine. At the end of the passage, the Pharisees ask Jesus, "What? Are we blind too?" And Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin." In other words, if you acknowledge that you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. The first step to being able to see is to admit that you can't, that you're blind. The blind man does this. The Pharisees, they don't. Now, what about us? Well, the reality is that all of us are spiritually blind, too. Just like this man was born physically blind, we are all born spiritually blind. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, all humans are born with a sinful nature. You don't have to teach a child to disobey. They do it pretty naturally. And our sinful nature keeps us from seeing things clearly. God's law tells us that certain behaviors and attitudes are sinful. And how do we respond to God's law? We think that God's trying to keep us from something good. We rebel against God. We live our lives the way we want to. We can't see clearly. We think we're doing just fine. But just like the Pharisees, we're actually blind, and we're actually living in the dark. Just like I didn't realize what I was missing without glasses or contacts, where I thought, oh, that's how the world looks. But then when I put the contacts on, I realized, wow, I was not seeing clearly at all. And sometimes we think that we're seeing clearly, but we don't even know what we're missing because of our spiritual blindness. There's a story about a mining explosion in West Virginia that happened many years ago. And the explosion trapped several men in total darkness. When the rescue team finally got a light through to them to rescue them, one of the men said, "Why don't they turn on the light?" And the rest of them looked at this man in amazement because the light was on. There it was. It was then that they realized the explosion had blinded him. In the darkness, he didn't know that he was blind. When we're living in the darkness of sin, we sometimes don't even know that we're blind. We don't know what we're missing. We think that's all there is. This is what life is like. We don't know what we're missing because we're blind. We're living in the darkness. And so the first thing that God does to move us towards sight is to show us that we are blind. To show us that, you know, actually the light is shining here and you're living in the darkness, but you can't see it because you're blind. In verse 39, Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Sounds a little bit confusing there, right? But what he's saying here is that for those of us who think we can see, we first need to become blind. We need to realize that we're blind before we can then be one of those blind people that can then see. Before we can see, we need to understand that we're blind. And a way that God reveals that to us is through his law. God's perfect law reveals to us our sin. It reveals to us our blindness. It reveals our need to be saved. When God opens our eyes and we finally are confronted with this reality of what our lives should be, of how we should be seeing, of how we should be living, when we're faced with that reality, there are two ways we can respond. We can either respond like the Pharisees, who then deny their blindness and say, well, we make excuses for our sin. We kind of massage it and sort of think, well, I can see it. I'm okay. Maybe I'm not as bad as that person over there. Or we can be like the blind man who just acknowledges his lack of sight. Acknowledges, I can't see. I'm in the dark. And I can't fix myself. And once we admit that, once we admit that we're blind, then the next step is that Jesus opens our eyes. Jesus opens our eyes because we cannot open our own eyes. We can't give ourselves spiritual sight. We can't heal our own blindness. Only Jesus can do that. When Jesus sees this blind man, he goes to him. And as the blind man explains in verse 11, the man they called Jesus, he says, made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Jesus healed this man of his physical blindness. If Jesus hadn't done something, this man would have remained blind for the rest of his life. That's the truth. It had to be Jesus. It had to be Jesus reaching to him, healing him, meeting him. It was an act of pure grace that Jesus chose to give him his sight. This man didn't do anything to deserve that healing. He didn't, you know, somehow show Jesus that he was worthy of this. No, Jesus, it was grace that Jesus chose to give him sight. And we see the same thing when it comes to the man's spiritual sight. After the Pharisees threw him out of the synagogue, verse 35 says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" You see that? It's a word that we've seen a couple times in John, when he found him. We see that time and time again. We've seen that in some of these other encounters, that Jesus, he's always finding people. He finds the disciples. He finds this woman at the well. And here he finds that man who is sitting at that pool waiting to be healed, thinking that the pool is going to heal him. Jesus finds him and says, "I'm going to heal you." And here this blind man, now formerly blind man, Jesus finds him. He goes to this man and he asks him if he believes in the Son of Man. As we saw earlier, the man's honest, right? He acknowledges he doesn't know who the Son of Man is. And how does Jesus respond? Verses 37 and 38, we read, Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus reveals himself to this man. He opens the man's eyes spiritually by declaring that he is the Son of Man. He is the one who healed him. He is the Messiah. It is Jesus' proclamation, revelation of who he is to this man that opens his eyes spiritually. And how does he respond? Lord, I believe. And then he worships Jesus. This summer, my son Lucas has been taking swimming lessons. And the lifeguards have been trying to get the kids to be comfortable with putting their heads in the water, learning how to kick, learning how to reach with their arms, and how to blow bubbles. That's kind of the big thing. Blow bubbles, they tell the kids, to keep them from breathing in the water when they're in the water. And Lucas has gotten pretty good at blowing bubbles. He's kind of puts his mouth in the water, blows a little bit. But he's good at blowing bubbles when his face is above the water. And he's pretty good at actually putting his face in the water, but putting those two things together just doesn't quite work. He blows bubbles, then he dunks his face in and kind of gets a little flustered. And so this past Thursday, I took him to the swimming lesson, and one of the instructors told us that he should work on blowing bubbles out of his nose while keeping his mouth shut so that he wouldn't accidentally take water in to his mouth. And actually, if he's blowing out of his nose, he won't get it in his nose either. Now, Lucas, again, we're trying to work on this. It was not quite connecting with him. It was hard for him to blow out of his nose until a lifeguard swam over and told him to hum while he puts his face in the water. And suddenly, it clicked. Lucas hummed, and as he put his face in the water, he blew bubbles out of his nose. He didn't drink any water, and he was doing great at this. It was this particular word, this particular message from this lifeguard that suddenly opened up Lucas's eyes and showed him, hey, he can actually blow bubbles with his face in the water. Jesus does something similar with us. He finds us, like he found that blind man, like that lifeguard found Lucas. And then he proclaims a message to us, a message that opens our eyes. He does this through his word, through the proclamation of the gospel. But unlike the message that the lifeguard gave to Lucas, that message was all about what Lucas had to do. The message that Jesus gives to us that opens our eyes has nothing to do with what we do. It is the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And here's the amazing thing. In the same way that message, just once Lucas took it in, it changed everything for him. When we hear that message, that good news of who Jesus is and what he's done for us on the cross, how he's taken our sin upon himself, how he died, how he rose again 3 days later, and he's giving us eternal life. When we hear that message, Jesus uses that message to open our eyes. He uses it to change everything in us. When we take it in, when we hear it, Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel message, that message about who Jesus is, what he's done for us, Paul says it is the power of God to bring salvation to us. There is power in his word. It can give sight to spiritually blind people. It can bring salvation to the lost. That's why we call God's word a means of grace in our Lutheran tradition. It is a way that God gives his grace to us, that when we hear this word, God is reaching out to us and giving us life and opening our eyes, saving us. And this gospel also has the power to create faith in our hearts, to receive his grace. When the blind man hears Jesus proclaim that he is the Messiah, the man responds, "Lord, I believe." It is that word to him that creates this faith in him to believe in Jesus. In Romans 10:17, Paul says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." That's how faith comes. We don't kind of just We don't create faith ourselves. But as God's word comes to us, it creates faith in us. It births this faith in our hearts. As we hear the gospel proclaimed to us, God's powerful gospel, this is how powerful it is. It can change our blind, sinful, unbelieving hearts into hearts that trust God, that are able to receive salvation, and that see clearly. This is something that only God can do. We can't do that ourselves. But he chooses to do it through the power of his gospel, as he proclaims it to us, and as we hear it, and as we respond, Lord, I believe. There is so much more I could say about this passage. It's a long passage, and there's so much packed into this. And as I was writing the sermon this week, I was like, oh, I want to talk about this and this and this. But you know what? For today, I want us to just sit with this reality, this invitation, this simple invitation that we're invited to admit that we are blind, and then to receive the sight that Jesus wants to give us. Have you acknowledged your spiritual blindness? Have you admitted to God that you can't see clearly on your own? And that maybe that's you. You're kind of even just now realizing for the first time that you're blind. But for some of you, even those of us who are believers in Jesus, sometimes God needs to show us that we're blind about something. Maybe there's a situation in your life right now where you're not seeing clearly. You're choosing to do things your own way, or you're blind to what God is wanting to show you. Have you been responding like the Pharisees, trying to prove that you can see just fine, kind of just trying to keep that at arm's length? The reality is that even after we receive spiritual sight from Jesus, we still have our sinful nature, and that tugs us back into darkness and blindness. And so we need Jesus to shine his light on us again and again to open our eyes once more to see clearly. We need to be brought back to repentance and faith. We need to hear that good news again. We need to hear and have him open our eyes again. And one of the ways that we do that, one of the ways that we kind of participate in this reality that it's not just like a one-time thing, but actually it's something that where Jesus is constantly doing in this is by taking communion. This morning we're going to partake of communion, the Lord's Supper, together. And whenever we come to communion, we come admitting that we're blind. We come confessing our sin and acknowledging that we can't open our own eyes, that we need Jesus to give us sight. And the good news, as proclaimed in communion, is that Jesus has given us his holy body and blood so that we can be rescued from our blindness, so that we can be given spiritual sight. And in the same kind of way that Jesus spoke this truth and said, here's who I am, and the man responded, Lord, I believe, in communion we hear that same gospel proclaimed to us. And we even get to taste it as we partake of the bread and the cup. We taste that good news of what Jesus has done for us. And just and in the same kind of way as Jesus' words gave sight to that blind man, when we hear those words to us in communion, it opens our eyes. It opens our eyes to who Jesus is, to what he's done for us, so that we can respond by saying, Lord, I believe. And then we do exactly as this blind man did. We fall down and worship. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that so often we don't want to admit our blindness. We want to think that we can see just fine, that we're running our lives fine just on our own. But Lord, your word tells us that we're blind apart from you. And we have the sin nature in us, Lord, that keeps telling us lies and bringing us back to the darkness to try to live there. But as we heard from our passage in John, Lord, that you are the light, and where the light is, there's no darkness. And you're the light of the world that came into our darkness, that came into our lives to shine your light on us. And as you shine your light, Lord, you bring us to see that we're actually much more blind than we realized. And some of us are fooling ourselves, even in some of the ways that we're living, Lord. And I pray that you would open our eyes today to see that we're blind and not to make excuses or respond like the Pharisees, but just to fall at our knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And give me sight. Forgive me for my blindness. Forgive me for the sin that I've been walking in. Cleanse me. And thank you, God, that you are the God who chooses to do this, that you make blind people see, that you shine your light into the darkness, that you forgive sinners like us. And as we come to communion this morning, we pray that you would again open our eyes to see who you are and who we are in light of you, and that you would once again fill us, Lord, with a joy at the fact that we are forgiven, that you have paid for our sin in full, and that you are giving us sight, Lord, and that you offer to give us your Holy Spirit to help us to see clearly in our lives. Do that, God. Change our vision, that we would respond as this blind man, I once was blind, but now I see. Say, Lord, I believe, and to fall down in worship before you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.